Great to share with you this morning, and so whether you're here at Burwood East or joining us online, we want to welcome you. Mindful that I met a few people just a couple of weeks ago in Birmingham, Alabama, who join us at Crossway on a regular basis. And so whether you're in Blackburn or Benalla or Broome or Birmingham, we're glad that you're with us online, and as well as our congregation, obviously, here at Burwood East. Whenever I think about Birmingham, Alabama now, I'm just going to think about American barbecue. I got taken out 3 days in a row, and every day the people, my guests, said to me, "Do you want to have barbecue?" You can never have enough American Alabama barbecue. We're going to continue in our series today on the words and the works and the ways of Jesus. And we come to Mark chapter 5 today. I wonder if you've got a favorite TV cop show. Do you like watching television crime? There's so much of it on our screens these days because of subscription television. We can binge watch. I was sharing with some of the younger congregation last night. Of course, they couldn't believe it. You watched TV when I was a kid, and you'd watch it on a Monday night, and you'd have to wait a whole 7 days for the next episode. Imagine that today. I'm a child of the 70s, and so my brother and I used to watch lots of TV crime. Starsky and Hutch. Kojak. Wasn't he a cool dude? Cop Shop, Division 4, Matlock, Hawaii 50. I mean, imagine walking down the street today and seeing a detective wearing a pastel-coloured shirt and tie. My brother was older than me, so he always got to be the cop. I had to be the robber or the criminal. That meant he could chase me around the house, tackle me, pound me, knee me in brotherly love in Jesus' name. And then, just like at the end of Hawaii 50, where in every episode at the end they'd say, "Book 'em, Dano." Hello to our guests in Hawaii. That's my best impersonation I can do. My brother would then suddenly pull out a pair of handcuffs and he'd cuff me. And there I was, probably 7 or 8 or 9 in my handcuffs. And of course, every time he did it, what couldn't he find? He couldn't find the key. And of course, he thought that was hilarious. Hours of watching his brother walk around in handcuffs. Now, it's one thing to be a kid in plastic handcuffs. It's another thing for you and I as adults. It's another thing for you and I as followers of Jesus. It's another thing for you and I to feel so trapped in life by the chains that weigh us down. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about chains. And if I pick up these chains, compare those plastic handcuffs, these chains are heavy. These chains are hard to hold. These chains weigh me down. And the reality is today we open up a gospel story, a powerful gospel narrative that reminds us of a God who wants to break chains today. Whether here in Burwood East or watching somewhere around the world, there are people who are going to be set free from chains today. Last night, young woman walks up to me and she says to me, "I'm in a toxic relationship. I know I have to end it, but I feel so trapped." But she knew she needed that chain to be broken. Someone else this morning who came up to me and said, "Scott, I've been a Christian for many years, but I live with a chain of condemnation. I need it broken in my life." And so we come to chapter 5 and we read the opening verses. So they arrived on the other side of the lake in the region of Gerasene. And Jesus got out of the boat and a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. Just have a look at that first sentence there on the screen, or if you've got your Bible open in front of you. They arrived on the other side of the lake, and Mark invites us to think, well, what's already happened before we get to this story? I mean, we put the chapter breaks in, Mark 4 to Mark 5. And our senior pastor powerfully spoke about the words of Jesus last week. But at the end of that chapter, Mark 4, we get Jesus calming the storm. Physical chaos, natural chaos. And Jesus saying, "Be still," and the storm is calmed. And Mark wants us to really see that story and the three that follow in Mark 5 together. Because what was Mark's gospel all about? If you can remember back to week one when I opened the series, Mark's gospel is all about us being reminded of the reign of God breaking into human history. The reign of God breaking into earth through Jesus, but not just cosmically, the reign of God breaking into my life, the reign of God breaking into your life. And so we get these four stories. We see a storm stilled by the power of Jesus' word. We see a man set free, the story we're going to look at this morning. We see a woman who's for years yearned for healing, and she dares reach out and touch Jesus, and the power of God is released and she's healed. And we see a girl raised to life, and you might want to go home and read that whole chapter and be refreshed in those powerful encounter stories again today. And we're reminded as we look at those stories that chaos, evil, suffering, pain, and death are never final addresses with Jesus. But let me ask you today, whether you're here at Build East or you're watching online, what's your address today? Are you living on brokenness boulevards? Are you living on despair drive or calamity court? Or do you feel like you're on attack avenue? When Jesus invites us afresh to Hope Street today, Jesus wants to break in our lives, and he wants to bring freedom from the chains that weigh us down, the things that hold us back. Can I just say right now, right up front, there'll be some people who already sense the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, and you know what those chains are. And can I say this? The evil one is going to do everything he can to hinder you today from listening to God's word. So lean in, Crossway. Lean in to what God wants to say to you today, because it could be a tipping point day in breaking chains that have held you down for far too long in your life. Where do we need the powerful reign of God to break into our lives? I was flying back, long flight from LA on Thursday afternoon, and I was praying for the powerful reign of God to break into the life of the woman sitting next to me. She decided that I was a very comfortable pillow. Beautiful, small, little old lady, and she tucked in, and every time I sought to get comfortable, thinking I need a bit of rest because I've got a big weekend ahead, she would lean in and she would just lay down. I didn't sleep the whole flight. She had a beautiful sleep. She snored away. She dreamed away. I felt like saying to her, sweet dreams, lady. And I prayed the powerful God might raise her out of her sleep. But no, in compassion, I just let her snore away. Where do you need the powerful reign of God to break into your life today? We know where it is. Every one of us here today would know where we need God to move afresh in our lives. And so we come to this passage and we see Jesus come from calming the storm, and suddenly he is confronted by this man who comes out of the tombs, possessed by demons, an unclean evil spirit. And we read on, the man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and he smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. The culture of the day, the local community, didn't know what to do with him. So they ostracized him. They pushed him to the margins. They tried to chain him up rather than deal with the issues that he struggled with. And so night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. And he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion," a Roman legion, 4,000 or 5,000 soldiers. My name is Legion because there are many of us inside the man. Then the evil spirits begged him again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirit begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the river. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus and they saw the man who had been possessed. He was sitting there. Look at this. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what had happened and the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demonized begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of the region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. I've now had my annual eye checkup getting through that whole Bible reading. Look at this quote from William Self. It's a really helpful introduction, I think, as we unpack this passage briefly this morning. "If you want to miss the real importance of this story, then get tangled up with demons and pigs. Otherwise, focus on what Jesus is doing here." It's a really helpful quote, because so often we can open up the Gospels, so often we can open up the Scriptures, and we can allow our mind to go down detours and focus on minor theological issues and miss God at work. And the focus that Mark wants to see here is the power of God breaking into a life, breaking chains, bringing freedom, bringing transformation, and sending this man out as a citizen of the kingdom. Mark says, Jesus encounters a man with an unclean, evil spirit. And so, yes, we pause to remind ourselves this morning that demonization is real. In the Scriptures, we read about demon possession and demonic oppression. And we read about the impact of spiritual attack, of spiritual oppression, that although today we celebrate, wherever we're viewing, whether we're here or overseas or tuning in across Australia, we celebrate as followers of Jesus, we already have the victory. We recognize that we live in a spiritual world, the kingdom now and the kingdom not yet. And we recognize that we live in a spiritual battle, but we are on the victor's side. Paul reminds us of that in Ephesians, where he says our struggle is not here and now in terms of the physical earthly things. Our struggle is in the spiritual realm against the forces of darkness. There is a battle for our hearts and our minds going on today. And it's unfolds in many different ways in our lives. Spiritual attack and oppression, opposing the work of the gospel, temptation, filling our minds with lies, doubt. There'll be people here in this auditorium, there'll be people watching online, and Satan is selling you lies that today you can be free from as you allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life. Physical infirmities, the Bible says, self-harm, violence, aggression, hindering us from experiencing what God has for us, a spirit of condemnation, toxic relationships, the list could go on. Now we need to hear this. If we belong to Jesus, we are God's possession, and the devil cannot possess us and own us, but he can certainly attack us. You see, Megan and I still own a house in Newcastle. Well, Megan and I and the bank own a house in Newcastle. And we own that house. But when we did some renovations recently, we pulled up some floorboards to discover that there were termites in the house. Just what you want to find. And those renovations became incredibly expensive because we spent thousands of dollars killing termites. The termites don't own our house, but the termites certainly want to attack our house. And the reality is today that we belong to Jesus, the victory is ours, but we need to live in victory, we need to live in freedom, and the one thing the evil one wants us to do is to stay shackled in chains. And today, God says, let me break those chains in your life. Let me break those chains. Let me break those chains in Jesus' name, because yes, there is the reality of a spiritual battle, but today we recognize the kingdom's power over darkness. And so what does Mark do? Mark deliberately gives us a picture of absolute helplessness and hopelessness. Here's a man being attacked by thousands of demons. Here's a man who physically, spiritually, emotionally is totally bereft. He's lost his way. He's living in a cemetery. He's been isolated and ostracized. He's self-harming. It's an awful, tragic picture. But Mark wants to paint the worst of pictures. Why? Because he says to Scott Pilgrim today, if I can work in that man's life, I can surely work in yours. If I can bring transformation and healing to that man's life, then surely I can work in yours. And he says that to every one of us here today. Where in our lives today do we need that spirit of freedom, spirit of healing, spirit of chain breaking to come afresh into our hearts and our minds? Because look at the polar opposites here. Mark wants us to see these polar opposites. The man is living in a cemetery. He lives in Tomb Street. But Jesus has come to bring life. The thief may come to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly or to the full or better than you could have imagined. Is that the life that you're seeking to live today? The man was trapped in chains, but Jesus came to bring freedom. If the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. And look at this. Don't miss this part of the story. The man is shunned and isolated and pushed to the margins. The man would have been very difficult to deal with physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, so challenged. But the local community did not know what to do. So what did they do? They sought to push him aside, ostracize him, send him to the margins. And sadly, our culture can still do the same to people who are not like us. But counterculturally, what does Jesus do? He enters into human brokenness with God's love, and that is what he calls us to. And what I've learned in my life is that often it's the people I might find the most difficult to be around is the person who Jesus might send me to. And sometimes, as well as helping another person, that teaches me more about myself and what God still needs to do in my life and my world. So what can we see if we open up this story with a kingdom lens today? It's a strange story. It's an awkward story. It's a story that some people preaching through Mark might kind of want to jump over and not come to. But what can we learn if we apply a kingdom lens to this story in our life today? Well, can I start by suggesting that we need to think about kingdom exposure? What do I mean by that? It's something that we could just miss in the story, but it's such a powerful part of the story. When the man stands before Jesus, he doesn't know who Jesus is. The evil spirits certainly know who Jesus is. They know that they stand against the power of God. But as this man physically, emotionally, spiritually trapped stands before Jesus, he sees something in Jesus and his life is exposed. He stands before kind of goodness with a capital G. He stands before love with a capital L, power with a capital P. He stands before Jesus and he knows that this man sees everything about him. I don't know about you, but I think we all do this at times, don't we? We sometimes can wear our masks and hide from what's really happening in our lives, and we can hide it from others, but we fool ourselves and we forget the fact that God sees us as we are. I stand before a living God today and he sees me better than I see myself. Yes, with all my strengths and hopes and dreams and aspirations and gifts, but also with my frailty and my weaknesses and my sin and my chains. And this man suddenly stands before Jesus and he is fully exposed. And this is the important part of the story there. Because he lived in a culture where therefore he expected he would be punished, ridiculed, pushed aside. He was unworthy. He was being attacked by thousands of demons. The community hated him. There was nothing in him that he felt was attractive to the person that he stood before. He was chained physically, emotionally, spiritually, and suddenly there he is before Jesus and he thinks that Jesus will do just the same and every one of us can fall into that same trap. Every one of us can become so used to living in chains that we actually forget the key stands right before us. And there are some of us here today living with guilt or shame or bitterness. There are some of us living today with anger. There are some of us living today feeling unworthy. There are some of us living today weighed down by the past, but we keep living with it because we fear exposure. Yet when we expose ourselves before Jesus, what happens to the man? Rather than feel punished or pushed aside, suddenly the man is exposed for who he really is, and he's met with love and grace. And so suddenly we're invited today to expose ourselves afresh to Jesus and consider, what are the chains in my life that hold me back? Look at this quote from Sarah Stanley. How many times do chains hold you and I back? Answer, more than we know. Chains of guilt, shame, regret, hurt, depression, excuses, abuse. Chains are heavy, draining. Chains cause negative health issues. Chains can ruin relationships. Chains cause destructive behavior. Chains are deadly. I asked the teams, have some chains here for the service today, and I hadn't picked them up before last night, and I got this point in the message and I went to pick them up, and suddenly I realized these are heavy. And as I picked them up with one hand, it was hard to actually hold them. They are so heavy. Some of you are living with that heaviness today that God wants to break now. God wants to break chains today. Do we believe in the power of God Crossway? The chain breaker is here with us today. But the reality, all too often, we are like what I was as an 8-year-old, and I could have easily ripped these plastic cuffs off, but I live with them. Stop living with the chains that weigh you down today. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to do something new. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to break those chains, because often we are so desperate for change and yet are ready to face our demons. I sat a couple of weeks ago in a seafood kind of diner as the American football was on like 32 screens in front of me, and I got chatting to a man, and he asked me what I was in Alabama for, and we spoke, and he said, you know, I'd love to go back to church, but I can't go back to church because I got a past. I can't go back to church because I'm riddled with guilt. I can't go back to church because I'm so unworthy. And listen to this. I can't go back to church because one day I might have to share that story with someone, and I could never do that. That's the chains. That's the chains. That's the chains that so many of us need to be free from. The chains that weigh us down and hold us back from being the people that God calls us to be. And so suddenly the man is surprised, because his whole life is exposed before Jesus. And rather than find ridicule or judgment or punishment, he finds love. He finds love. And more than love, he then finds power. Jesus looks at the man. Jesus looks at the demons. A legion, 5,000 against one. But this is not just an ordinary one, is it? This is the one. This is Jesus, the one. And Jesus says, get out, impure spirits. Just like he said, be still. And I'm reminded today that it's the powerful words of Jesus that need to be spoken over my life and your life time and time again. Today, do you need Jesus to speak over your life? There are some people on my heart today who I believe have given up on their marriages today, and Jesus says, I can breathe new life into your marriage. There are people here today who feel like they are a failure, and Jesus says, the chain of failure is never my final word. There are people here today living in the past with guilt and resentment, and Jesus says, let it go, let it go. He speaks, and powerfully the man is healed. What are the chains that need to be broken today? What are the chains that need to be broken today? Throughout Scripture, we read of God breaking chains. Throughout church history, we read of, we've sung songs for 2,000 years about a God who breaks chains. I was telling the team in the green room about some of the great hymns we could finish this service with today, and they looked a little bit blankly, and then Pastor Eddie and I started to sing for them in the green room. That really excited them. But how many times throughout history do we sing hymns and choruses and songs? My chains are gone. I've been set free. So Jesus turns up and he exposes the man for who he is. He's met with kingdom love. He's met with kingdom power. But then this is such a great ending to the story. He's confronted with kingdom purpose. You see, the story could have ended with Jesus casting out the demons, the man restored to full life and full health, fully clothed, of sane mind, and Jesus could have left and it could have been a happy ending story. But Jesus had far more for the man, as he does for you and I. Here's a man who existed in the tombs, and suddenly, here is a man being sent out as a servant of Jesus with kingdom purpose. Look what happens. From chains to freedom. The man lives absolute hopelessness and suddenly he finds hope. He's been self-harming, a tragic picture, and suddenly he finds health. In a congregation this size this morning, and particularly with many more joining us online, the reality will be there'll be people in this building or online today who are self-harming. Self-harm takes many forms. If you're self-harming today, we don't stand before you with any sense of condemnation or judgment. We stand with you in love. And we would invite you to reach out and seek help through Life Care or other services in the community that you might live in. Because Jesus wants the best for you. In a congregation of this size, those watching online, there'll be someone who contemplated taking their very life this week. Jesus is the chain breaker. And he wants you to live. And he wants to give you life and life to the full. Might it be one person I'm talking to today, but if that is you, seek help, tear up the note, and realize that Jesus has an incredible future for you. The man is suddenly transformed from living in isolation where no one wants to know him to suddenly being restored to live in community. He leaves Tomb Street for Hope Street and suddenly he can be around other people. And he leaves painful existence to kingdom purpose. You know what I woke up this morning? As I do most days, like you probably do, I woke up this morning and I got up and I looked in the mirror and I said, praise God for such beauty and humility. And no, I didn't at all. I can't change the way I look. Sorry, Megan. but every morning, it's true. Every morning I get up and go through the kind of daily ritual that we all go through. Every morning if I do see myself in the mirror, the one thing I remind myself is I am so incredibly privileged to be allowed to invest my life in the most noble, life-giving, joyful, beautiful, purposeful thing anyone can do. And that is serving Jesus as a citizen of the King. You haven't got to be a pastor to do that. We all do that. The mission of God in the hands of ordinary people. Can I encourage you when you go home this morning? Go and look in the mirror. And yeah, celebrate your good looks. But more than that, celebrate your kingdom purpose. He was a man who was trapped with 5,000 demons with no future. And the power of God breaks into his life. And suddenly he realizes that he was born for kingdom purpose. Wow. What a story he had. In Mark 1, we reminded ourselves of Jesus saying, metaneo, repent, turn from. Where Jesus says to the first disciples, turn from anything that gets in the way of following me as a citizen of the kingdom. Turn from, not just once, but every day. What is it that we might need to turn from today? And then he says, come after, follow me, join me on the adventure of faith. And then he says, this man, go in my name, free of the chains that have broken you, free from the chains that have held you back. Now in freedom, go. And what's he become? He actually becomes one of the first Gentile missionaries. He goes back to his community as a disciple that multiplies. The mission of God in the hands of ordinary people. He actually says, Jesus, I want to go with you. You can imagine that. Hey, Jesus, I want to sit on the boat. You know, you have healed me, you've changed me, you've transformed me. I want a seat on your boat. I want to go where you go. But we can't miss this in the story. Jesus says, no, I want you to go back to your community, to the community that just only a few minutes ago said, Jesus, get away, we want nothing to do with you. Go to that community and share with them what I have done in your life and what I can do in their life. But you know, he goes back with a renewed mind, and it says fully clothed, fully dressed. But don't lose sight of this crossway. Every time that man rolled up his sleeves, there were wounds and scars. Every time he rolled up his sleeves, there was the reminder of the past. But God takes that past so it becomes his testimony today. Every one of us in this auditorium, those of you watching online, wherever you are around the world today, every one of us has a past. Every one of us has scars. Every one of us has bruises. But what does Jesus do? He takes those scars and bruises and he uses them that we might have a story to tell of a transforming, chain-breaking, freedom-giving God. We go today in the name of Jesus to tell a story about a God who can break chains in our life, who can break chains in the lives of those in the community and around us, who can break chains, people watching around the globe today. But it starts with this crossway. It starts with this. It starts with these chains that are so heavy to pick up. And yet we carry them round and they weigh us down. And today, what is it in your life that you know is weighing you down? What is it in your life that's holding you back? What is it that for generationally you've held on to? What is it that today you yearn to be free of? Where is it today that you want freedom and release? And many of you already know what it is. And Jesus stands before this man and he says, they're gone. The chains are broken. You've been set free. You're now ready to be the person I've called you to be. Do you want that today? Do we want to allow the power of God to sweep across this place and allow chains to be broken once and for all in Jesus' name? Will you stand with me, Crossway? Will you stand with me? I'm going to ask you to be bold today. I'm going to ask you to be bold today because there are people who already know it, that they need chains broken. This is a safe place. This is a grace place. Can I invite us to also stay in the auditorium and open doors because God wants to do something here today in our lives. And so I'm going to invite you as Tim comes to sing. I'm just going to stand down the front. We've been putting our hands up on the services, but I feel like today that there are people who need to come forward and say, Jesus, I need my chains broken today. I want to be free to be the person that God wants me to be. And so can I invite you with courage? Don't stop and think about it. You know you need to do it already. The Holy Spirit's at work in your life. Will you join me? Come down the front as Tim leads us and say, I want my chains broken today in Jesus' name.